With that, turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 14th chapter. Just going to read one short verse of Scripture, and we'll try to be brief and trust that our great God, merciful and great in compassion, will give us a few thoughts this morning. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Been preaching on this lately, and we started off by saying that there is a kingdom. Yeah. There is, in fact, the kingdom. Yeah. In reality, there's only one kingdom.
Right.
Always has been and always will be. Yeah. And that is the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
As Brother Sergey has said, he rules, he controls everything.
Right.
He rules over the kingdoms of men.
Yeah. Yeah.
And someday he's coming back. And what is he coming back for? Well, one of the things he's coming for is to show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Now thank God that at least most of us, and I would hope that all of us here today, and more besides us, we already know this, that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not only that, but we rule and reign with Him.
Right.
Now,
now,
right now,
right now,
we rule and reign with Him.
Yeah.
So oftentimes, oh, Brother Herb, we don't act like that. We forget that. And we're all down in the muddy grub because of the circumstances that surround us. And especially in this day and time in our country, in the political realm. But everything is happening exactly the way that God has ordained it, foreordained it, predestinated it. It's just exactly like He has intended it from before the foundation of the world, and nobody can change that. There is a kingdom, and it's His. And if we would go back over to the second chapter of Daniel, we find that out. There's all of these great kingdoms, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, and going on down through the great Empire of Rome, but there's one that's cut without hands.
Amen.
And it consumes all of them. And that's what's happening. Whether we understand that or not today, that's what's happening, is that the kingdom of God is in the process of consuming all kingdoms of the world. And if you'd go over to the 19th chapter of Revelation, you'd find out that this is so. So there is a kingdom. But the thing about this kingdom is that it is a kingdom of righteousness and is a kingdom of peace. Now, one of the most blessed passages of Scripture that I know of in the Bible is found in Isaiah chapter 32. At least it's a blessed passage to me, and I believe it ought to be and is a blessed passage to any child of God that reads it and thinks about it. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, it says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Where there is righteousness, there is peace." Brother Herb, that's the key to not being divided.
Yeah, that's right.
It's being righteous, because where there is righteousness, there has to be peace.
Right.
It also stands just as sure that where there is not righteousness, there cannot be peace. That's why there's not going to be peace in this world. I don't know what your hopes are built upon. If your hopes are, if you have some hope in the political situation. Do you not understand, like in Matthew chapter 10, our Savior said it very clearly. "Think not that I am come to bring peace, but a sword." He even says that the fathers and will be against their children, and children against fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. Go through all this litany of that the enemies of a man shall be they of his own household. And how true sometimes we find that to our own sadness. But where righteousness is, there is peace. That's the reason it is so blessed today to come in out of the world and come into a place like this where there is righteousness and there is peace. And with that peace is joy. And that's another thing. Where there is no peace, there can be no joy. Which brings us then, and again, how much more could we say about these first three things? The kingdom, the righteousness, and the peace. But it leads us to this thing of joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. What in the world is joy in the Holy Ghost? Well, we can tell you right off the bat, it's not worldly joy. There's lots of things that give us pleasure maybe for a moment in this world. But there's nothing that gives us eternal, permanent, absolute joy in the world. But there is that permanent, absolute joy in the Holy Ghost. What kind of joy is this? It is a joy in any situation that arises in our lives. And much to our sadness, much to our confession, oftentimes we do not find that joy in our own lives and our own hearts because of the circumstances that surround us. So oftentimes, and I believe it is sin, I firmly believe that it's sin in my own life when things arise that cause me to be down in the dumps, that cause me to question God, Brother Sergey. We shouldn't question God, should we?
No.
We never should question God. It's all right for us to ask questions of God to find out what is the will of God. But there we have the Bible. We have this great and blessed book that God has given to us. And as Brother Herb said, He has preserved His Word. God is able. He's almighty and He's able to preserve His Word in its purity. You can argue all we want to about this word or that word, but ultimately God is true and every word of God is true. Amen. Every word of it. So this joy that we find in the Holy Ghost, He puts that in us. It's born into us. And yes, we do sin in the flesh. Every one of us sins in the flesh. But the Spirit of God, which is in us, does not sin. In fact, we are told that He cannot sin. Now, that's hard for us to really comprehend how we can be saints and yet sometimes we sin, right? But we know what the apostle said in Romans chapter 7. I know that in me, that is in my flesh. And that's the important phrase there. In my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. But dearly beloved, being born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and I ask this oftentimes, can the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, can He sin? No. And we know the answer to that. And yet sometimes we forget that. We are born of God. We have those precious promises that are left to us of God. Peter tells us that, doesn't he? Yeah, he does. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of what? The divine nature. Do not underestimate the power of God and the power of His resurrection. It works in every child of God. The power of His resurrection is the power unto everlasting life. And I'll say this, that life itself, true life, I'm talking about the life that is given to us of God, the life that is God, that life, again, is righteousness. And no one has that life without that righteousness. And if we have that righteousness, then we have eternal life. But let us go a little bit further here, and then we will, I'll wind this up. Joy in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. What in the world, how can we, in this Bible, how can we describe joy in the Holy Ghost? Well, turn with me over to Acts chapter 16. Verse Verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, you know the background of this, I'm sure. Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail. They were in chains. It's not a pleasant situation. Not a pleasant situation at all. And yet here they are, what is it saying? Singing praises unto God. You couldn't have been in much worse situation than what Paul and Silas were at this particular point. And yet they were singing praises unto God. What a remarkable thing this is. Think about it. But think about how weak we are. When we're not in any kind of a circumstances comparable to this, and yet we're complaining about it. And yeah, Brother Sergey, we're questioning God. Why, Lord? And we're not the only ones that do that, of course. We're not the only ones which have done that. Look back over at this man, Jeremiah. In chapter 12 of Jeremiah, we find Jeremiah questioning God. In verse 1, righteous art thou, O Lord. Thankfully, he does acknowledge the righteousness of God. He does know that God is right. He does know that God does all things well. He does know that God cannot sin. He does know that God cannot lie. He knows all of this, and yet he can't quite figure out why some things are seem to be just the opposite the way they should be. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Now the psalmist experienced the same thing, did he not? He said, when they saw the prosperity of the wicked, his feet well nigh slipped. Job the same thing. Job had the same problem with this. But here is Jeremiah. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds because they said he shall not see my last end. Let me ask you to be truthful now. In our situation in this nation today, have not you sometimes wondered, Lord, why are you letting this go on? Why are you allowing these things to happen? But here's God's answer in verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And then listen to this one and see if you can't relate to it. And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? I have to ask myself this question quite often. If the little things bother me and trouble me and make me question, then what will the greater things, what effect will they have? But I know in whom I believed.
Yeah.
Right? And I know that He will give grace. Brother Herb, in our time of need. In our time of need. But you see, it's these things that by which God tries us. He does try us. Again, in the fifth chapter of Acts, in verse 41, it says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they," listen to this, "that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name, for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Now, the disciples had been beaten. They had been commanded not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. But they rejoiced. This is rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. You see, you can't rejoice this way except in the Holy Ghost. But in the Holy Ghost. And if you've been born of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, then you not only can, but you will rejoice in tribulation. Because what are we told? You must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom.
Yes.
And tribulation worketh what?
Patience
and patience.
Hope
and hope. Make it not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, right? By the Holy Ghost. This is the joy of the Holy Ghost that we're speaking about. But then in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll end it with this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking" where? "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him." When did this joy appear? On the cross. "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, thinking nothing of that shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then this exhortation, admonition to you and to me, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. May the kingdom of God rule and reign over us to the glory and praise of God. For the kingdom of God's not in meat and drink and all that that represents, but it is in righteousness, it's in peace, and it's in joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen.